All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, six PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Love doing things on the show we've never done before. Esports, professional video gaming. Yeah, it's a thing. And where there's a thing, where things move, there needs to be a PT. Kate McGee, she's one of those PTs. We'll get into that. Recorded live in Northern Virginia just after the live Marymount show. Want to thank Owens Recovery Science for sponsoring the first round. Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation certification and the equipment you need to apply. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com and their own podcast, the Owens Recovery Science Podcast, now on iTunes.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pintcast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Just finished up a live show at Marymount University, and that was great. Adam Meekins, Eric Mara, the group from that podcast we just heard from, the Slow Road to Better, Jen Tripkin, professor over at Marymount University. And now we do the after party, which is where the real fun starts to happen. So I've been online voyeuring this next guest for a while there. You kind of trip across people on Twitter, and you're like, ooh, this looks like it'll be fun. Let's just follow here. And I think that the word follow is so unique, but it's really like just kind of hover around what the person's about to say. Kate McGee, welcome to the show.
I got
to
say, voyeuring sounds a little creepy.
It is. Well, I was going to say, what's the other word, though, which I try not to use?
It's true.
Like stalking. That's not a good word you want to use anymore.
No, not great. Not a great choice.
And so I'm like, all right. So
I don't think any of the choices are great. So thank you for voyeuring my PT work.
We'll just say following. But also following around someone like in real life is also not that great.
That's more creepy.
Yeah. So when people want to follow you on Twitter, where can they? How can they do that?
I'm at Kate McGee PT, and it's C-A-I-T, because there's 20 bazillion ways to spell Kate.
Right. It's 1HP, right?
Yes. Yeah, so my Twitter account is Kate McGee PT. What the display name will be is 1HP Kate, because 1HP is the company that I work with. It's myself and one other PT, Matt Wu. And 1HP is One Health Providence. Our kind of slogan is that we're trying to teach people to not live on one health point, 1HP.
Okay, I was going to say, it's health point.
Yep.
Yeah, and what does that mean?
Because we do esports. We do gaming. We do people who play video games casually and competitively, and we make sure that they either don't get injured in the first place or they figure out how to stop getting injured if they already are.
So we haven't had that. So that's when I saw you. I'm like, you do... Someone does that? I'm like, in my head, I was like, someone does that.
I think there's like three or four of us that do that I know of. There's me, there's Matt. Cloud9 has a team physical therapist.
And Cloud9 is what?
They are a gaming organization. They have a variety of teams across a variety of esports titles. They are chronically cursed to only ever win second place and not first.
But in what game?
All of them.
All of them? Okay. All right. So we gotta go wider, all right? Because you know esports. Mm-hmm. This is second nature to you. How would you describe this to someone off the street? What is an e-sport?
All right, so esports is kind of the same kind of global header that regular sports is for football and basketball and tennis. There are a whole bunch of titles encompassed under sports and esports as a title. So esports describes any video game played competitively for significant chunks of money a good deal of the time. And it could be things that you grew up with, like Super Smash Brothers Melee with like Mario and Luigi and all them. It could be things like League of Legends, which a lot of people have heard of, or Overwatch, which has like a big regional-based team now. It could be things like Dota, Defense of the Ancient, which is my go-to competitive game, which, for the record, had a $25 million prize pool this year at the International.
Wow.
Winning team took home over $10 million.
Okay, so hang on a second. I played video games growing up, but I still play them on and off now. Nothing competitively. Are all of these esports athletes in the same room when they're doing this? Is it a live tournament, or are they connected together?
There are online tournaments where you are matching people online. Then there are LANs, which are our local area networks, which is a leftover title from when people would get together and plug everything in and play together.
You can say leftover from when I was in. That's when I was in college. I played Duke Nukem on a LAN. I was like, yeah, somebody smarter than me set it up, but I was like, yeah, man, this is cool.
You do the whole plugging things. I'll poke the buttons.
Yes.
Yeah. So you'll see things like the fighting games community Street Fighter and Melee, like I mentioned, and a whole bunch of like anime-style fighting games. Those are very commonly played in person, mostly because playing online has really bad lag. Has really bad like
what is lag?
Delay time.
I know what lag is, but tell everybody for the slow people. So like I hit punch, but it didn't punch for a half a second, and that's why I got punched.
And that's
punched.
A major problem because when people are breaking things down to like a single frame's worth of data precision, even you know 5 seconds of lag is major. A lot of tournaments are played online because it costs a little less, but then we've also got these big hosted in-person tournaments that have, you know, filled like, let's see, where have we had tournaments? We've had the Key Arena in Seattle. The entire arena was filled. I've been there. I was deafened by it and then lost my voice screaming about it. Rogers Arena this year. Next year, the International for Dota is going to be hosted in Shanghai, and it's going to be in one of the former Olympic stadiums.
So this brings us to my first topic I wanted to bring up. A prominent sportscaster, mm-hmm. Keith Olbermann. Mm-hmm. Can't remember if he said this on TV or if it, I think it was a tweet.
It was.
Essentially, he was like, esports, not really a sport.
Bless his heart. It's not a sport in the sense that it does not require contact. It does not require you to run for long periods of time. It is, however, an activity that requires a significant amount of precision, a significant reaction time that's higher than the average population. It's going to require you to do the same activity repeatedly for a long period of time. So at 1HP, we describe esports as a static endurance sport. You're in the same position for a long period of time, doing the same thing repetitively for a long period of time. But yes, if we want to argue classical definitions of sports, I'm not sure. Esports is not a sport. But saying esports is not a sport is also like, esports is not a sport, because esports is an umbrella term for a variety of gaming titles played in a variety of ways on a variety of gaming consoles or PCs or types of controllers. So it was a really uninformed tweet, and it was hard to argue against in the sense that I can't start picking out where you're wrong because there's too many places.
I'll say this, and I watched that interaction, and that's how I saw Olbermann's tweets, because you responded to it. You know what it sounded like? And this is a guy I watched on ESPN growing up. He made himself sound a lot like just any old guy in your neighborhood saying, hey, get off my lawn.
And here's the other thing. Esports as a whole, as an umbrella term, the people who play esports competitively, no one's trying to claim the title of sports. We're not trying to say, put us in the Olympics or, you know, make us the next tennis. Esports is its own thing. It's separate from sports for a reason. Esports as a title is something that a lot of people have complained about because it's such a poor characterization of, yes, electronic sports, you're playing a thing online, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's not like email. It's not electronic.
What would be better if you could change? It's too far down the road to change.
It's too far down the road. Nobody's changing it at this point.
What would you call it? Like professional gaming?
Professional gaming works perfectly well for me. Competitive gaming. It avoids the whole issue of people yelling, get off my lawn, about the thing that we're calling it sports. Yeah.
And if that's the thing you're focusing on, Keith Olbermann's of the world,
you missed the point.
And you're saying you're not trying to make it the next, you're not trying to make it into the Olympics.
No.
But the fact that you're having a championship in a former Olympic venue and likely going, I mean, first of all, you're renting it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, I'm going to fill this mostly, if not all the way.
Yep.
Says, not only has it arrived, it's past arrived.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, no, esports has been here for a long time. The industry itself is massive at this point. There's so much money and so many people and so much investment in the scene, and there are so many people who care a lot about playing competitive video games. I was really lucky that I came into the gaming scene, the competitive gaming scene, right around the time that players and teams and organizations and team owners were recognizing this can be a career. People can do this, you know, with significant longevity. And if players are going to continue making our team significant sums of money, we need to make sure they're not injured in the process.
And that's where PTs come in.
That's where healthcare professionals
come in.
We have performance coaches, we have exercise physiologists, and we have personal trainers, and me, and other physical therapists.
Just out of curiosity, where's the money come from? Is it ad based? I mean, I think I get it enough, but I'm gonna make sure I don't sound like the old guy saying get off my lawn. When you get people watching, because now we need to make sure people know if Kate is playing a game in competition, people can just watch.
They can.
Through a platform similar to Twitch and others.
Right.
So they can watch
absolutely
as if a video game were a sport. played on TV.
Right.
But now it's through this platform.
Twitch. Right, so
now
you broadcast across this platform.
If you're super good at it, there's a gajillion people around the world that want to see what someone do the same thing I do, but super better than me. They'll watch that.
Right.
So is it ads? Is that where the money comes from?
People want some of it. Some of it comes from ads. Some of it comes from the developers of the games funding various tournaments. Like Valve puts up a significant prize pool for the tournaments because they, in return, make a large amount of money for people paying for skins, which is cosmetic items.
Things you can buy
in-game,
things you can buy.
Right. Things that don't affect the quality of the game in terms of they don't make you more or less likely to win, but they look pretty. And people like things that look pretty.
They make you look cool.
They do. Yeah. And who doesn't want to look cool while they're playing video games?
I want to look
cool. So it comes from ads. It comes from developers. It comes from community fundraising a good deal of the time. The International, which I mentioned, had a $25 million prize pool.
It's insane.
The initial prize pool was $3 million from Valve. The rest of it was community fundraising by buying certain items in-game that go towards the overall prize pool.
That's really smart.
Yes.
3 to 25 million.
And then there are investors. There are people who buy into teams. We've got, you know, teams that are owned by people like Shaquille O'Neal, and we've got, you know, major sports stars buying into teams. We've got Mark Cuban owning his own organization. All of that kind of funds the background of it, and then teams sell merchandise the same way that sports teams sell merchandise.
You get a following. I sell pint glasses. Give some of the money to charity. But, like, people want to buy it, so I'm like, hey, here, give
me 20, buy myself, sure.
20 bucks. There you go.
And the platforms themselves can sometimes provide the money in the sense that if you are a really good gamer, you might have an agreement with the platform. Where
as in Xbox, PlayStation, that sort
like
of platform?
More like Twitch. Twitch is a broadcasting platform.
Got it.
And they might allow you to be to have a subscriber button. Basically, somebody can pay for
you to
play your game. Exactly. They might get access to, like, you know, little cutesy emotes or things like that. There's a perk of it. But they can pay. And in return, they get these emotes and you get paid for a career. And then there's also sponsorships. Same way that people get sponsored by Nike or Adidas. Players can get sponsored by gaming fueling companies like G Fuel, which makes, or Gamer Goo.
Is that a drink?
It's a drink.
Wow, gamer fueling.
Yeah.
And is goo like similar to an endurance athlete goo?
No, it's actually designed for you to make your hands more sticky while you're playing so that they don't slide off at the controller.
Got it.
You know, Red Bull sponsors people. Monster sponsors people. I think most recently we've had Mercedes-Benz has sponsored tournaments.
Wow. That is, I promise to the audience, we will get to something physical therapy related.
Eventually.
I think the last thing I wanted to bring up before we get to the more of the PT of it is because this is still, I've been watching on the periphery and I kind of get it, but now that I've got you here, I got to get deeper. ESPN just did a profile.
They did.
On a guy, Ninja.
Yes. So Ninja is a former professional Halo player. He is now a streamer. So streaming is broadcasting you're playing across a platform.
Live.
And he occasionally competes in Fortnite events as well. Which is, any parent in America has probably heard of Fortnite at this point because their 10-year-old probably plays it. It's burgeoning as an esport in that it's a relatively new game, the Battle Royale aspect of Fortnite. Epic Games, the producer, the developer of this game, has put up a significant chunk of money for prize pools for tournaments so people compete in them. And they even have like amateur-style tournaments, like a Friday night fight kind of deal. He was profiled in ESPN because he's kind of really well-known. I think there has been, like, you know, a bit of clarification necessary in that what he does currently is primarily streaming, which is entertaining more than anything else, with a little bit of competition as well. And then you have the players who belong to an organization or to a team who consistently compete, who only play competitive, and to kind of supplement what they're doing with a little bit of streaming every so often. It's more like Michael Jordan occasionally, like when he did the whole baseball thing.
Got it. Okay. I got it. Moonlighting a little bit.
Yeah.
Now's a good time to grab a fresh one. The PT Pinecast will be right back.
Be a leader in advancing patient outcomes with APTA's Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry. You can leverage your EHR data to benchmark outcomes without added data entry. That's right, there's no additional work. You'll be able to optimize your practice with easy-to-use reports, market your practice to patients, payers, and referring physicians, and maximize payment. It's the only nationwide registry building integrations for PT practices regardless of what EHR you have. Sign up for a demo now at ptoutcomes.com/go. That's ptoutcomes.com/go. The Physical Therapy Outcomes Registry, brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Hey guys, the Movement Maestro here, letting you know that Rock Tape is so much more than just a tape company. We are a movement company. Move stronger, longer with the world's best kinesiology tape, topical pain relief, mobility equipment, and protective gear. But that's not all. Learn from the best with our industry-leading continuing education courses. Want 20% off your first product purchase? Head on over to shop.rocktape.com and use the code PTPINECAST. Again, for the folks in the back, that's shop.rocktape.com and enter the code PTPINECAST. Rocktape, the world's best kinesiology tape, the movement industry's new standard for education.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
So now we get to why the heck the audience is caring about esports and how it relates to the intersection, because it's there, because you're there. What are some of the injuries that you're looking at, or what do you do there?
All right, so small rant. Literally everyone who plays video games will tell you they have carpal tunnel. Almost none of them do. They think any and all pain in their hands or wrists is carpal tunnel syndrome.
Carpal tunnel.
Not. I think in the entire time that Matt, my colleague, and I have been treating patients, which between the two of us is about 7 years, 3.5 years apiece, I think we've had one actual case of like primary carpal tunnel syndrome. Everybody else has been like, they have inflammation, you know, in that region as a result of something else happening further up the chain. Most of what we see is tendinopathies. A lot of tendinitis, a lot of tendinitis.
Repeated action over and over, small
and
movements,
small
muscles.
And a lot of postural issues. Yeah, a lot of overuse injuries related to, you know, putting the muscle in a suboptimal resting position or having posture that's poor or having a setup that doesn't support you well in a good posture. So a lot of what we do is education and preventive maintenance. There are a lot of players who've been dealing with injuries for a very long time who come to us because they've tried a regular doctor who tells them to rest. They've tried chiropractic.
But this is their living.
They've tried masseuse. Yeah, this is...
Or their identity, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a significant part of their identity, and even if it wasn't, it is also their job. It's the same way that making sure somebody who does office work for a living can continue to use a keyboard. And sometimes it's providing ergonomic equipment, and sometimes it's addressing an underlying musculoskeletal issue. And sometimes it's saying, like, hey, dude, seriously, you're doing this all wrong. You need to change your keyboard position. But there have been a lot of players about over the last 3.5 years, there have been a good deal of players who've dealt with really significant injuries. There was a Dota player, Defense of the Ancient player named Fear. He had an elbow tendinopathy so significant that he needed to take an entire year off.
Wow.
Went through physical therapy, which, like, bless his heart, I appreciate him so much for that. And he talks about having gone through physical therapy. He still does maintenance. And then he came back and won the international the following year after taking a year off and
Jackpot.
Doing PT. Yeah, so, you know, PT directly contributed to winning the international, in my opinion.
No big deal.
There have been also players in Super Smash Brothers. There's a player called Hax who went to, by his own count, over 100 different doctors to try and get a certain surgical procedure performed. There have been League of Legends and StarCraft, especially players. StarCraft players who have to do a really high APM or actions per minute are really, really prone to overuse injuries. There have been a number of high-profile players who've dealt with basically career-ending injuries. And then at the same time, over the last 3.5 years, there have been a number of players who've worked with me or with Matt or with other PTs who had what could have been career-ending injuries but weren't, because they started a PT regimen, continued to do their home exercise program. Amazingly, somehow gamers are more consistent with their home exercise programs than any other patient sims that I've ever had.
Why?
I'm going to guess because they figured out it works. And that's the biggest thing with gamers, getting people to invest up front, to recognize that, hey, this will actually work and it'll matter. That's the biggest part. Once you've proven to them that, hey, this does have value, this has merit to you, this is worth it, they're absolutely buying in.
That's cool. Yeah.
It's really great.
So what would you tell someone who's listening who maybe is a PT and or maybe is going to share this episode with an esports athlete? You know, what are some things, what are your like big, like, should definitely do this?
So the first thing for PTs specifically, don't tell your patients just to rest. For one thing, we know that active rest is so much better than rest in the classical definition of, you know, don't do things. Telling your gaming patient to rest is probably not going to go over very well unless you give them a timeline for return or an alternative of, okay, if you're going to game, because I know you are, here's how we make it work with the pain you're having.
What are they gaming like? What are average like hours a day or like hours a week? What
ballpark? All right,
ballpark
so it's the go-to PT answer of it depends.
Yeah.
If it's your career, it's
yeah, like,
probably...
Go top level.
If it's your career, it's between 8 and 12 hours a day.
8 and 12 hours a
yes,
day.
Yes, there are people who play up to 16, but
wow.
We yell at them mostly.
Wow. And
it's their job.
You said suboptimal positions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I play video games, I play a lot of baseball and football games. I stand in front of the TV and I kind of pace and I'm moving and I'm always doing this. I wag the tongue a lot. I have the tongue hanging out, which, you know, I haven't had any injuries from that, but I'm always conscious of it.
I can't say I've seen that particular posture before. That's a new one.
A little Jordan.
More often what we're seeing is players who are sitting with like that really rounded back posture that increased thoracic kyphosis with the forward head posture, major cervical lordosis. We're seeing people sit leaning their weight onto their forearms, resting all their weight through them while they're also asking, you know, that distal mobility of their fingers. So, you know, they're requiring both mobility and stability of their forearms, which is less than optimal. You'll see with PC gaming, there's a kind of leftover habit in a game called Counter-Strike Global Offensive, left over from playing in what's called LAN cafes, which is basically a computer cafe where you could go and play games,
right,
where you were really short on space. And because you have to aim really, really precisely with the mouse for this game, people would have these giant mouse pads and they would adjust the DPI, the kind of precision of their mouse. And then they'd leave like no room for their keyboard. So they'd turn it sideways so that it was out of the way so they had more room to move their mouse around.
Wow.
So you've got these guys leaning forward with their keyboard like 90 degrees relative to them. Getting them to break that habit is interesting at times.
Because that's how they know how to play.
Right. And the other really important thing that Matt and I do is we often go out to tournaments, big conventions. And when we work with competitive players at those conventions and we have limited follow-up with them, what we don't do is we don't tell them to change at the tournament. Because that's a great way for them to lose and then decide, PT ruined this for me. I'm never going to a PT again.
Smart.
Instead, we'll address their musculoskeletal issues in the moment. You know, if they've got muscle tension, if they've got trigger points, if they've got swelling, if they've got inflammation, we'll address whatever's going on at that time. We might MOB, we might MNIP, we might do manual therapy. What we won't do is tell them, here's everything you need to do to fix it. It's, okay, after you're done with the tournament, you come to me, we're going to go over how to fix this permanently. And the vast majority of them do because they appreciate that we weren't trying to, you know, mess with their flow while they're competing. It's like, that'd be like asking, you know, a baseball player to use a new bat or a tennis player to use a new racket or a football player to switch his cleats.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Ain't going to happen.
No, and if it does happen and everything goes wrong, they're going to blame you for
you're,
it.
You're the person.
Exactly.
That. Drop the website. Where can people find you and find out more info?
We are 1-HP.org. Matt Wu is at HP for Gamers on Twitter. He and I both post articles frequently, guides for video gamers to not get injured. We do case studies, case reports of some of our patients sometimes. We'll do like exercises of the week for gamers that use things like Theraputty or Therabands or nothing at all, depending on what exercise we're describing.
Yeah. As we're standing here, it's the post-party for the Marymount Live Show. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Sky Donovan, and you know, I introduced you to her, mm-hmm. and she goes, Marymount University is actually starting an esports team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing?
It is.
Like collegiately now?
Collegiate teams are a big thing, and they're growing. It's been really great to see because there's a lot of support across multiple conferences for the game. There's been a little bit of rocky roadness with the NCAA, as there always is.
Like the Obermans of the world.
Partly that, but also partly kind of a resistance on the part of a lot of esports titles, games that are played under the esports umbrella, not necessarily wanting the NCAA's control over the situation.
Because NCAA likes to put their hands in other people's pockets.
They really do.
Big fan.
I'm going to decline to comment on my opinion of the NCAA.
Got it. Smart. I won't. They like to put their hands in people's pockets.
But there's a whole bunch of colleges that have not only esports teams, you know, Overwatch or League of Legends or Heroes of the Storm, there are colleges that have scholarships for their esports teams.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
You ready for three questions?
Go for it.
All right. Three questions brought to you by our sponsor, Aureus Medical Staffing. They find PTs jobs. That's what they do. All 50 states, all settings, short term, long term, whatever you need to do. Find them online at aureusmedical.com. It's Aureus Medical. .com. First question, you live in the Northern Virginia area.
Mm-hmm.
You went to University of Delaware.
I did.
But if you can go anywhere in the 50 United States and be a PT for like 3 months, mm-hmm. carte blanche, go anywhere, where do you go?
LA, because that's where all of the esports stuff is happening.
Makes sense to me. Got it. Second question, what's something that you read recently that really inspired you?
Let's see. I recently read a book by N.K. Jemisin called The Fifth Season. It's a fiction series. It's a trilogy. I promise I'm not recommending you a series that is unfinished, but it was a really fantastic, like, she built this whole world and all these characters, and it has absolutely nothing to do with physical therapy, but it's a great series.
Inspiring.
Yeah.
Good. Third question, who's somebody the audience should know more about? Maybe somebody within the profession doing good things but under the radar.
Somebody that everybody should know about is a guy named Dr. Sean Gross, S-H-O-N, his name spelled a little funny. He was the first PT I ever went to for injuries. He's also an avid promoter of like general overall fitness. He does CSCS stuff in addition to his PT work. He's based out of Pennsylvania, and he is absolutely brilliant and one of the most well-rounded critical thinkers I've ever met. He really set me up well for going to UD, where literally everyone is a well-rounded critical thinker.
Cool. And that you're off the hot seat. That's it. Three questions.
All right.
AURUSmedical.com. Want to thank those guys for supporting the show, keeping us on the road, and letting us literally get into like just weird rabbit holes of PT, like esports, that I didn't necessarily know was a thing until a couple of years ago, and I found you online. I'm like, oh my God, of course there's going to be a PT for that.
Totally a thing.
How can someone get more involved?
So the best recommendation I can give, especially to student PTs who are kind of really building up to what they want to do in their actual field of practice, get a really thorough orthopedic background. Get really comfortable with upper extremity stuff. Get really comfortable with trunk stuff. Get really comfortable with
ergonomics. Yeah.
But get really comfortable with not always having the answer, and get really comfortable with saying, I don't know. Yeah. Because the more you're able to say more, I don't know, the more you're able to learn from other people.
What do you play?
Let's see. I play Dota, Defense of the Ancient, which is kind of like a 5v5, kill somebody else's base game, but enemies can respawn, etc. I play Guild Wars 2, which is kind of like World of Warcraft, which more people might have heard of, in that, you know, you'll grind for gear. You'll play the same area repetitively because you get sparkly fun things as a result of it. I play a game called Warframe, which is a first-person shooter where you can, like, flip and fly through the air and play with all these different suits that give you different abilities. Kind of like superhero-ish, I guess. And I do play a bunch of fighting games like Street Fighter and Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear. I'm really bad at Guilty Gear.
I love that. Last part of the show that we do is your parting shot.
Okay.
This is the parting shot.
Kind of sentiment you want to leave with the audience, kind of your mic drop moment. What do you got?
The single most important thing that you can do as a physical therapist is keep learning things. Find a niche that you're interested in. Find something that you want to know more about. And even if it doesn't directly relate to the job you are currently doing, find out about it. Have passion for something.
Quality mic drop moment.
Thank you.
KBG, appreciate you taking some time out. And this is only going to... We're going to have you on again soon because this is going to keep changing.
All right.
I would say it could get bigger, but $25 million purses is pretty damn huge.
So for reference, the Overwatch League, which I mentioned... Yeah, this year the teams were a $30 million buy-in.
All right, fine. All right, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna start gaming, and maybe I can just, if I finish 4,000th, maybe I'll get to pay out the student loans eventually. appreciate you taking some time out here in Arlington. Thank you for this. A cool inside look.
All right, happy to be here.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
From the makers of this podcast comes a brand new show. It's called NPTE StudyCast. If you're studying for the NPTE, this is the show you need to listen to,
period.
It's available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are heard. Short, sweet, and to-the-point episodes from board-certified clinical specialists and physical therapy professors on all the topics you need to know to take the NPTE. NPTE StudyCast, available now on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and more.
NPTE StudyCast,
the number one NPTE podcast
in the world.